This is one of the magics of this type of show. Your next act is about to do stand-up comedy for the very first time.
I'm excited to see your next comedian. Please put your hands together for Peter Hartman.
Please put your hands together for Tom Hartman!
My four-year-old daughter says I shouldn't be so hard on myself. She says, life is full of ups and downs, and you'll find yourself to new heights, to new peaks, if you allow yourself to believe in possibilities you can't immediately conceive of. Wise words from a four-year-old. But then she also thinks that Dora the Explorer is better than the Magic School Bus, so what the fuck does she know?
There are the greats, and the rest of us. Welcome to this week's show!
We're having fun today.
Episode 2.
I think we started the show before we actually recorded, so we're all hyped and...
Yeah, definitely hyped, definitely excited. Pumped, raring to go.
Because today we're talking about...
Rape jokes!
Rape jokes.
Rape jokes.
Controversial
Basically
jokes.
All, like, offensive jokes.
Yeah.
Look, it's a subject that's near and dear to my heart, mostly because of what happened last week at the Comedy Nest. If you heard our last episode, you would be aware that, that I bombed.
You bombed.
Pretty badly.
Very badly.
Look, I didn't read the crowd. I thought the same jokes would go over well. I decided to wing it. Turns out, you can't have 6 penis jokes in a row and almost get a hit.
I did not know an audience could give it a silent treatment like they did.
I didn't know a full audience could give a silent treatment.
So many people not laughing.
I mean, they pulled out their phones and started Googling. Like, I said, oh, don't Google that on stage. And I guess they took that as like, oh, this is a great idea. I'm going to Google it now. Dead silent.
The silence was deafening.
I couldn't believe it. I was just like riffing and raffing up there trying to get these people to laugh.
I'm recording it with my camera. And just so if you didn't watch last week's show or listen to last week's show.
I'm not putting that up anywhere. No one's going to see that.
No one's going to see that?
Well, he'll have a part of it maybe on the thing.
Tom did not know that he was actually on. So our show was about standby.
Yeah, remember the standby stuff? So we go there and we're like, okay, we're going to check it out. Can we be on the standby list? And he's like, oh, I'm so glad you're here. I thought you weren't going to come. And we're like, we didn't know he cared so much about
cared
us.
Cared so much about us.
Showing up. He's like, yeah, you're fourth. I go, fourth? As in on the list? He goes, yeah. I go, no way. He's like, yeah, you're up. And I go, Jesus Christ. He's like, I left you a message. I don't check messages.
So I didn't bring my camera this time. So I had to use my iPhone. I'm recording it.
It worked well.
I'm just sitting out there. I have no space left on my iPhone. And so I have to go deleting apps like crazy because I want to try to get this. And thank God that I did because I'm holding my iPhone. Just trying my best not to just crack up Tom is bombing on stage. Now, you bombed very well.
I thought so.
You bombed exceptionally well. I mean, way better than me. I mean, me, beads of sweat were coming out. It was really...
Yeah, no, I mean... I had the benefit that you don't have, that I feel that my jokes are good.
You know what?
And so I had like the confidence there, and I was like, what? Maybe I'm delivering it wrong? I wasn't checking my notes. I was really riffing on stage. I was walking around.
I thought it was funny. I couldn't really understand why they weren't laughing, but you know.
Well, they weren't laughing to anybody.
It was a tough
Well, that's night. Not true. That's not true. Because we saw some people who really nailed it. And I mean, this is what we're talking about, reading the crowd. Because... if I had read them properly, I would have known not to start with blood came out my penis.
Blood came out my penis the other day. And I panicked. I mean, it wasn't a lot of blood, but does there have to be? I think any amount of blood that comes out of your penis is a shocking amount of blood. Am I right?
Or not to continue with all the penis
not
jokes.
Not to continue with the blood coming out your penis.
But you didn't have any rape jokes, did you?
I didn't do any rape jokes last time. No, I did not do rape jokes.
Okay, so that's interesting. So we're talking about rape jokes today. The first time Tom goes on, he ends with a rape joke.
Was it the first time I did the...
I think it was the
first... No. I would never have done that the first time. I did the second time. Yeah, the second time I did the... You're talking about the Smeagol one, right?
Well, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I don't want to spoil the punchline here.
So. Yeah. Okay, fine. So I do this rape joke, and look, I was already prepared to feel that it wasn't... I even said, this is not a funny joke, don't laugh at it. I understand the misogyny of it. I didn't want to make people think I was making light of rape jokes, even though, I mean, that was the very definition of what I was doing. And I was pretty happy with it. I mean, it got a laugh. It got laughs.
No, it did get laughs that time. You didn't bomb that time. It got laughs. It was your last joke. Some people didn't like it. The comedian didn't like it. And I know you have arguments all the time about
rape. My jokes, wife right? didn't like the rape joke.
Yeah.
No. She said it was. It didn't show that. Like, it showed, like, I was okay with rape. Which, I'm not, like, encouraging.
Just because. Okay, so let's talk about this.
But, I the joke is about justifying rape.
When I was younger, and I saw Lord of the Rings for the first time, I saw Smeagol. You guys know Smeagol. Gollum. The hobbits. And I always thought, oh my god, finally you have an example of what it's like to actually have a penis. You're constantly fighting with yourself. Touch yourself. No, I don't want to do it. Do it. And that's why, for me, it seems that, you know what? 98% of the time I've masturbated has been non-consensual. Which is why I think that there should be a concerted effort amongst all of us to petition our government, you know, to have a new law that really takes into consideration this new fact. Because in rape, perhaps the guy shouldn't be so punished. Perhaps we should recognize that in any rape, there are two victims. Me and your mother.
So let's talk about this. Just because you make a joke about something doesn't mean that you're condoning it. And in fact, I find in most cases it means the opposite. That you're using the platform of comedy to sort of bring it up as a point of focus, and you're laughing at it from the other side. And so I don't... Do you think there are any jokes that you shouldn't do?
No. I mean, look, I think very clearly, I think George Carlin said it very nicely, anything can be joked about. Whether you do it in a funny way is up to you, but anything can be joked about. I mean, for my part, that's the purpose of comedy, to really discuss the things in a safe atmosphere where you can say what you will, people can respond to it, and there's no long-term negative effects.
Well,
ideally.
From what I understand, the climate, the environment, the comedy climate environment, it changes every so often. Every few years, every generation, it changes. And so, right now, from what I understand, we're living in an epoch where, as long as your joke is funny, if people laugh, then that's the qualifier. That is the test. Now, people do disagree with that.
Yeah.
There are other people who say, even if it is funny, you should not be joking about that. It perpetuates a stereotype. It perpetuates a
discrimination and that sort of thing.
Whatever it is. It makes light of something that's a serious issue.
That's right.
But I don't agree with that. I think...
I would be for... All right, I have a completely different reason for why I want to start mitigating the rape jokes or any of the offensive humor. I found that I was doing it because it's like the fart and poop jokes that kids do all the time. It's an easy laugh.
Hey, don't fart and poop jokes. I got a fart joke today.
Right. Well, I wanted to do a joke on stage where I go, anyways, I'm not going to... When I come on stage and I go, well, I just farted. It's pretty rank. You guys over there are going to feel it. I could feel the breeze right now. You guys are going to feel it in a little bit. Let's not derail the show for it.
It needs
whatever,
more flavor.
Whatever. I dreamt of.
Needs more cowbell.
Anyways, so I'm thinking to myself, I'm really doing those offensive jokes for the easy laugh. For the easy one, because it's so shocking to say these things about kids or to say these things about women or anything like that. And so it's cheap in that way. And so that's why I'm really trying to work on the cleanest set I can. I want to try to do a set that would make a 4-year-old laugh.
Well, that's actually what I've been thinking about. The first time I went up, I was actually surprised at how much I swore. And I felt like some of the jokes only worked because I was swearing.
Sure.
And so I've since the first time, I've been trying to tone down my swear words because I've heard comedians say if you are using swear words in the absence of wit, then you're not doing it well. Then you're not.
And I agree. Look, it felt good.
Even Seinfeld will say, does the joke work without a swear word? If
right.
it doesn't work without a swear
right.
word, it's not a strong joke.
And look, I have to agree with that. How can I disagree?
But, I don't know, I think part of me thinks that, okay, in terms of the ideal, you should be allowed to be joking about anything, but part of being a comedian is the relationship you have with the people you're talking to, and you don't want to go up there and just say what you want absent of the understanding of the, you know, relationship that
you're having. No, but this is where,
so what about respect? Where does respect fit into that in terms of you are able to say whatever joke you want? That's where I feel like maybe they do have a point. Maybe
No. Don't go to a comedy club if you got buttons that you don't want people to press.
But that is a statement that I can understand, but it's an unfair statement.
Why?
Well, it's like saying, so I'm listening, I watch politics, right? American politics. And Mike Huckabee, who's running, I believe is announcing his...
no way.
Running. Yeah, he's running for president, or at least he's announcing his exploratory committee. And he says, he's asked about gay people. So he's asked, do you believe that homosexuality is a choice? And he's like, look, gay people say that it's, they're born that way, whatever, that's just the way it is. But they do have a choice in their behavior. They don't have to act it out. And you're like, well, that's kind of stupid. I mean, you're telling them people they can be gay but just don't act gay. So you say, well, come out to the comedy club, but if you have buttons then you're not allowed to come out. Well, that's like putting up
No, I'm not saying that if you have buttons you can't come out. I'm saying when you go to a comedy club, it's an atmosphere where you have to expect that they're going to be pushing buttons.
No, they're going to be pushing buttons, and here's what I believe. If you're going to see an established comedian, a comedian that you know of, you're going to see a Dave Attell, you're going to see someone who's going to be outrageous, then do your homework. This is what the show is going to be like. You should know this. But if you want to open mic, I mean, what can you do about that?
Even more so. So where then are the safe environments where you don't have to feel like you're going to be, you know, crucified because of what you say? Where is the environment?
Maybe
for that?
There is no your environment bathroom? Like that. Maybe no, there
no,
is no environment.
No. Like comedy is that environment. Now look, I like that people gave me that feedback because now I can go and retool it, right? I enjoy that, and now I'm not going to say it in the same way with the same tone and the same context. So I'm happy about that. I'm not upset that people reacted negatively to it. But it sort of helps you feel the tone of where people are, like of the subject itself. So if I'm doing a joke and I'm talking to, I know there's a group of, there are feminists in the audience, and I could find a way of doing an offensive joke in that sense that makes the feminists laugh, but doesn't feel like they lost something or anything, that there's an understanding, I think that works. And so I'm trying to work on a series of jokes right now to address my misogyny. Like, I understand that it's institutionalized and there's all kinds of beliefs that I have about it. I'm trying to address it in such a way where I can say my jokes, but it's also there's an acknowledgement that I don't want to feel this way. Like, I accept that this is not the way I want to be, but currently is how I feel.
Well, I acknowledge it. I do get that. Bill Burr does that, right? He'll say his bits and then he'll say, you know, I'm an idiot, you know, what do I know? I'm not good. And then he'll spout idiocies, but then idiotic statements, but then he'll just sort of repair that by saying, you know, that don't take him seriously. He's not an authority on the subject. He just found his information on YouTube videos.
But I want to do something even.
But fundamentally, we have to address. Like, fundamentally, are any jokes off limits? And if not rape jokes, then what else? You know, fundamentally, can we say, look, we have freedom of speech, right?
Well, I mean,
as I say, that freedom of speech, but you're not allowed to have hate speech. They can't do hate speech. So there is
But I mean, this is where this is where the boo off stage, the heckling, the comes in. Like, that's the check and balance. If the person goes on that sort of thing, then you'd be like, you know, yell, get off the stage and boo that person off until you shame them off and let that be.
But haven't you heard comedians go like, that the hecklers and the booing is not really part of the experience. More than one time we've gone to the show and they're saying, this is not a dialogue.
I would imagine those same people, they saw a comedian go up there and just being deliberately offensive in order to, that's not helpful anyway, they would be just the supporters of the people heckling them. They would totally understand that. They're talking about, you know, trying to be part of the show. Trying to hype it to be funny because trying to get a laugh.
That I do get.
Not what we're talking about.
That I do get. There was this woman, there was this issue, I think it was a year or two ago.
They'd be blinking the light if
somebody
was just going offensive for offensive
sake. About a year or two ago, I think it was, I can't remember exactly, there was Daniel Tosh. there was this big hubbub where a woman in the audience got upset.
That's right.
And the criticism that I heard was, no, the solution is you walk out of the show. That is how you show that your disapproval. You walk out. But you're saying boo and heckle the person off stage. I actually think that that is matching the wrong with the same wrong.
No, when you're up there, you're looking for involuntary responses, right? To indicate you look for laughter, you look for groans, you look for moans, you know, aww, you look for the ha-ha, you look for the spontaneous clapping because they indicate how people feel.
Right? Well, you want spontaneous positive responses.
That's what you're looking for. So if you hit something and what you get is a spontaneous negative response, that has to be acceptable there as well. You can't insist that the audience only give you, like, what? I should feel that they shouldn't be allowed to sit there silently? As a response to my joke?
No, I do believe...
And so if it goes further into the extreme, they can then...
You know me. I believe that people can do whatever they want, okay? Right. If they want to throw tomatoes at you on stage, then they can throw tomatoes at you on stage. That's fine. But I'm talking about the morality, the principle behind it. Because people are going to do what they're going to do, and there's always going to be a variety of people. And no matter what we say, or no matter what society changes into, there are always going to be boundaries that people feel like you can't cross
that. Sure.
So those things will always be there. But... the principle is sound. Like, should there be a type of freedom of speech protection when it comes to comedy, for example? Like, should it be like a statement that people make, like, comedians are allowed to say whatever they want? Or do we live in a world where even comedians aren't allowed to say whatever they want? I've seen there are people who create art, like artworks that can be offensive. There are people, but you can't put Nazi paraphernalia out there.
I understand, but what I would say then is that I'm okay with the club saying you can't joke about this, you can't say that. This is the lines we won't cross. To me, that's like the right of the establishment. But if you're talking about conceptually, like in general, as a human being. There's certain lines that can be joked about. First of all, you can only say that for the current state. You couldn't say that for past times or future times, right? You're not trying to say that this shouldn't be joked forever in perpetuity. It depends on the people. And if that's the case, it's relative to the times. And so it has to also be relative to the circumstances that you find yourself in. And so in that sense, no, there's nothing that can absolutely be said you cannot joke about. Just there's a time and place for everything.
The time and place for everything, and sometimes you only realize what that time and place is once you've stepped over across the line.
Yeah, but imagine people started getting, let's say, fined on stage for saying the wrong thing. You're going to get only, like, the mainstream, down-the-road stuff, because anybody who pushes against the edges, right, they start finding the rape jokes, and they're going to find the misogynistic jokes, and they're going to find the kids jokes and fat jokes, and all of a sudden you can only joke about certain things, and people will be worried about saying what they want to say, and that... that's not the environment I want. But I don't want people to be like, or I have to sit here and take it. Fine, vote with your feet. Don't laugh. Boo. Heckle if you feel so strongly about it. Fine, I understand that.
Look, we'll meet you. It's 2015. We'll meet you partway, women. We'll meet you partway. But just give us this, the objectification thing. You guys look beautiful. Do you guys realize this? All right?
Yep.
This girl here with her legs has been making me lose my train of thought like three times in this goddamn set. You guys are beautiful. And you know what it's like? Imagine chocolate only existed on like the chest of dudes. Chocolate didn't exist in fields and you were only there. And it's the only place you can get it. And so you're talking to some guy and he has this chocolate on his chest. And if you're like looking at the chocolate, you want to touch that, you want to eat that chocolate, this never-ending juicy chocolate. And you're like, hey, eyes up here, guy. Alright, you guys are walking around with chocolate on your chest, on your ass. Give us a break, people! If you can meet me halfway on the chocolate boobs ass issue, I'll try to stop raping, okay? I'll try to stop.
I agree with you. I'm playing devil's advocate. You know, I'm the devil's lawyer right now. I don't know why I brought the devil into this, but
devil's lawyer isn't that? I was gonna say redundant, but I guess not.
Redundant, no. You know, so I do believe that people should have the freedom to do what they want, and I also believe that people should have the freedom to say that you can't do that too. That's part of freedom, restricting other people's freedom, isn't it? Like, you can say, you can steal all you want, but we're going to lock you up in jail.
Well, you're not restricting their freedom. You're impeding their freedom.
Well, you're impeding, if you put someone in jail because of something they said or something that they've done, then you're like, yeah, you're free to commit a crime, and we're also free to lock you up. And so that's the way I see it. Like, yeah, you're free to make all the rape jokes that you want, but also, if you never do business, if you boot out of comedy, then you also do...
Yeah, okay, so morally, you can make any jokes you want.
Yeah, morally, I believe you're completely free, but then you have to live with the consequences. I don't like these comedians who say, I should be able to joke whatever I want, but I don't want to deal with the consequences.
That's exactly
right. No, there are consequences to your actions, and sometimes that can be very severe. You might have to end up being on the news, apologizing, and you might really hate that, but too bad for you.
That's right.
That's freedom. Yep. Like, that's true freedom.
Okay, I can accept that.
Okay, well, look, we had fun talking about these...
We solved it, Peter.
I think it's solved.
We solved the offensive joke thing. Anybody who has any... Just refer them back to this episode, and it will be solved.
Episode 2. I don't even think we need more episodes. I think we've done it all.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what the next episode's about, actually.
What is our... Do we have that set up?
No,
I think we should do... Well, I was thinking about doing bombing for our last episode, but why don't we do it for... Well, since we talked about it today... So let's come up with let's do one about joke writing. I think that'll be a simple one.
Well,
unless you have something in mind.
Yeah. This thing about you want to do jokes that
come on, spit it out.
Tips for people starting out. Let's do tips for people.
Advice?
Starting out.
Oh, well, I don't think we're qualified to give advice.
I think we're qualified to give some advice.
No, I want
to
save the advice ones for when we have a guest on. That way we can let them do it. I think we should do something more about...
All right, fine. We'll think about it, and we'll see what the next show is about. Speaking of our next guest, I hope our pick of the week this week is one of our guests coming up.
He's really funny.
I really like him.
I've seen him a few times.
Yeah.
Had the pleasure of being...
He's always been funny.
I've introduced
seen him
as
MC, I've seen him in Headline.
He's like a natural talent.
Even off stage, he's funny.
That's right. You can tell. You can tell some people have it, and some people... are getting it. I was going to say don't have it, but...
Yeah, Peter, they're on pins and needles. They want to know the name of this person.
His name is...
Matt Sherry!
Matt Sherry, you just beat me to the punch.
Matt Sherry, S-H... Is that... Yeah, S-H-U-R-Y?
That's right.
Matt Sherry. You can check him out on Facebook. You can check him out online. I'm sure there must be videos of him online, but it doesn't matter. We'll post, the next time that he's... the next time he's performing, we'll share it online and all that sort of thing. You gotta check him out. He is really funny. There's a particular type of comedian that I enjoy, and that is people who can do geek humor. And so someone who can...
geek humor, like nerd?
Yeah, yeah. So someone who can do regular mainstream stuff and then switch into, Zelda Majora's Mask for Nintendo 3DS... I'm very happy about that. And he seemed to have that sort of nerd humor, that sort of geek humor.
I find he has stage presence. I find that...
his delivery, I find it so unique. There's a voice to him.
That's right. Me, when I do my comedy, there's a lot of sort of parts where people are not laughing. There's a lot of dead air before we get to the punchline. But him, it's just like punch, 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 punch.
Yeah.
Funny.
Well, I mean, obviously he's been doing it longer, but...
And I think loved about it. He 2 years, I think, if I remember correctly. But I'm still impressed by him. But it's just these people that you just know, they're just naturally funny. Mm-hmm. I imagine he was the funny person at school. I imagine he's always the funny person in his crowd.
Yeah.
So we want to pick him as our pick of the week, Matt Sherry.
Yeah, go check him out. I am, I'm really liking this. I'm really liking this show.
I'm enjoying it too.
It's a pretty good episode.
It's a lot of fun. We're getting ready to go out.
It's the best episode we've ever done.
We're going out tonight. I'm actually going on stage. I'm really happy. No standby for me.
I'm going to be on standby.
You're going to be on standby. I'm going to be on stage. I got two new jokes, but they're pretty tame, pretty small.
All right, you won't tell me what the jokes are, but can you give me a little teaser what flavor we're talking about here?
What flavor?
Our mother might be in the audience.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
She RSVP'd maybe.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine your mother just like, maybe I'll come out if I have nothing else to do?
Oof.
No, but it's perfectly fine. I don't think it's going to be her type of thing, but it'll be funny. She'll come out to support us. But my jokes, the two teasers I have is, one is, I'll just tell you how it starts.
Okay.
I think God is a woman. So I won't, I won't go anymore, but God is a woman. And the other one is, let's see where that is. Can't find it in my list here. I know I have it there. Oh, ideas are contagious. That's a kind of a silly joke.
All right, all
that's
right.
My fart joke there, right. So we'll see how that goes.
I
had to cut out one about ADD. Now, I've been trying to write jokes because I find myself going blank often on stage, and so, like, terribly blank. Nothing is there, and so I decided to come up with a joke for that moment. So if it comes up, then I'll do it. It's just that if I fit that joke in, I go over my 5 minutes, so I don't know how to cut that. But I have a joke for if I'm sweating, because that will, of course, always be an issue.
Uh-huh.
And then I have the ADD one now that's in my back pocket, so hopefully okay. I won't have cause to use it.
I'm going to tease it. I have a joke that I've been working on. It's about ants time traveling.
Ants time traveling.
Yeah, and just to give you an image of it, so I'm talking about a little ant.
Ant, like the creatures or aunts, ants? What are you saying?
Like an ant, the foamy ant, the bug, the insect, yeah. And so imagine like a little ant inside of a race car. Like a race car, and it's driving like,
88
it's,
miles
it's,
per
it's
hour.
It's driving in like a past a sundial that has like wire to it, and like there's an ant with like white hair, and like, oh, I can't wait! I really want to do the Back to the Future and time travel joke. I think that's going to be pretty good.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I was listening to Matt Churi at the 902 comedy show.
Yeah.
And he said something that reminded me of
Paul Asher's show, right?
Yeah, I think it's Paul Asch, right? And he reminded me of something on stage that I had heard before, that comedy is about honesty. And honestly, the jokes that are funniest amongst us and what I find funny on stage is when people are being honest. You can be absurd,
sure,
but let that absurdity be revealing an honesty of who you are.
That's what I like.
That's why I like Matt Churi and his nerd stuff. I can tell that he knows most people are not going to get it.
That's right.
But and he's not like boring people with it. He just puts in these little punches. But it's about honesty, and I really like that.
Has me cracking up.
Yeah, so I've been trying to take that advice. He said it, and it stuck in my head. So I've been trying to write jokes that are authentic and true to who I am and how I think. And you did that last week with all your penis jokes, I think.
I mean, those things happen to my penis. I don't even, that's as authentic as it gets.
So if people want to find out more about us, more about the next shows, maybe suggest some topics for the show, they can go where?
Yeah, they can go to our website, andtherestofus.com.
Andtherestofus.com.
But there's also the Facebook.com page, facebook.com/andtherestofus. And we would have had the same thing on Twitter, but we can't.
Yeah, somebody else already has it.
People are camping on that name.
If you're listening to this and you own Twitter, the Twitter handle, and the rest of us, we'd be interested in it.
Yeah, for free though.
We're not millionaires.
We're not even thousandaires.
Yeah, maybe $10.
Yeah, so for Twitter, we're on twitter.com/risingcomedians.
Rising comedians.
That's
like
rising
it.
With an rising, and then comedians with an S.
Comedians with an S. Okay, you made that more complicated. I think I've forgotten how you spell it. Now.
Just Siri will know what it is.
Siri will know. So at Rising Comedians, that's our Twitter handle. You can also check out our Instagram, the username and the rest of us.
We have an Instagram?
We have an Instagram.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're going to maybe take some pictures tonight, put them up online.
I think we're going to the website right now.
You should go on the website right now.
Twist with
www.andtherestofus.com. Look, there are the greats.
And the rest of us.
Thank you for listening.
We'll be with you next time.
We'll find a reason to laugh.
Yeah, I'm going to the comedy club tonight.
Go do something fun.
Bomb Peter.
Support
bomb.
Open
bomb
mic. I'm not going to bomb. Go support open mic. Come out.
Get out there,
go
man.
Go to the comedy
it's
net.
So fun.
Come and listen to us.
You can always go check out that movie. You can always go to that restaurant. But those comedians in that order for that night, for those people, it's once in a lifetime experience. You're part of it.
Support them and
we can't stand up if you don't sit down.
we gotta add that as a tagline.
Oh, I was gonna say something more, but I can't say anything after that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Good job.
Yeah. Look, I got a twin brother. All right, I love my twin brother. Was in the womb with him. Came out the vagina with him. All right, I would climb any mountain. I would swim any sea. I would walk through any dark valley for my brother. I love him. But there's a small part of me that can't shake the suspicion that if I were to kill this, I'd become stronger.
The tagline is pretty good.
It's really, we can't stand up unless you sit down.
Oh, nailed it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
No wonder I work in marketing. Yeah.
I think you're more of an off-stage star than you are.
An off-stage star. I guess I have to wait until the show is over before, the series is over before I murder you.
You're going to need me.
Wait, I could just do both our voices.
Oh, no, I could just do both our voices.